Voices of the Elephant is proudly sponsored by SiteGround.com, a leader in website hosting and a terrific partner for all your website projects. Their top-notch technologies will make your websites fast and secure.
Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is my longtime friend, Mr. Justin Carmody. Say hi to everybody, Justin.
Hey, Cal. Hey, everyone.
Now, Justin, it's been a long time since you've been on Voices of the Elephant. You were one of our first guests back in 2012. So let's refresh people's memory. Let's start with your hero backstory. How did you get into programming, and how did you get into PHP?
Yeah, so with programming, I just played around with it in high school a lot and made a couple websites. And then when I was in college, I joined a startup, and we were all 100% virtual. This is before that was really a thing. Yeah, this is back like in 2005. That's a long time ago.
That is.
but we basically... I was actually more of an operations guy for them, but we were all virtual, and basically it was either sink or swim. And I said, I did some programming in high school and maybe I could do some more. And the rest is history. Me and my buddy, we built all these different websites for, they're all esports related, running online competitive gaming tournaments. And, I had a trial by fire and I learned a lot over, several years. So that's kind of how I learned. And that's how I got into PHP. That was the thing that was installed on the servers, and we kind of learned how to use it, and it's been great ever since.
That's awesome. Yeah, those early days of startups are a real learning experience. There, you pick up an awful lot in a very quick time. So you share a passion of mine, which is managing developers. Now, first of all, tell us what you do now and where you work.
Yeah, so I work for a company called Deseret Digital Media. No one's ever heard of it, but we operate some of the largest regional media companies in the country. We're like the number one news source in Utah, where I live. And so I am a director of engineering for them, and I oversee three different teams. I see over the KSL.com news team, which we manage the CMS, the website. And then I have two data analytics projects, which I oversee. One's called DBI, the other one's called Skunkworks, which is a super secret thing that I can't talk about. But it's fun to work on. And so, yeah, so I'm kind of a manager of managers. I manage multiple teams, each have their own manager. But my day-to-day is mostly spent trying to figure out how do I help support and empower them to be as effective as possible.
Well, and that's what we're here to talk about today. Let's talk about managing developers and managing engineers and managing managers of engineers. So you have three teams, and I assume they're kind of autonomous teams. They each do their own thing.
Yep.
How do you as the manager, the umbrella manager, how do you keep up with what each team is going through?
Yeah, so I try to... My first thing is I have the managers in each of those teams. I have one-on-ones with them on a regular basis. I'm very judicious and disciplined about having those one-on-ones. That's my primary touch point. And in those, we talk about the health of the team, the health of the project, what's going on. And then I also rely on just, my first-hand observations a lot of the times, talking with the teams. A lot of times I'll review pull requests. Like, I won't do the review myself, but I'll kind of look at what is being done. And then I just do a lot of walking around, shooting the breeze with people and saying, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And trying to, provide a good, touch point that way.
Yeah. I think it was Packard that Packard, Hewlett-Packard, that coined the term management by walking around. Mm-hmm. I screwed with it and said management by wandering around, because that's what I would usually do when I'm managing teams that are all in one site. I'll wander from desk to desk. And usually I've got a cup of coffee or a pot of coffee in my hand, and I'm refilling coffees, things like that. Now it's time for you to be a game changer with the RingCentral Developers Game Changer Program. Grow your skills, help others in the community, and get rewarded with awesome prizes like RingCentral swag, conference tickets, software, iPads, computers, and so much more. Don't just be a developer, be a game changer and join the program today. For more information, visit developers.ringcentral.com. Now, do you still do day-to-day coding, or are you strictly in the management role at this point?
Yeah, so I'm primarily a manager, and I still try to code, but for me, and it's hard to do this, but for me, the most important part is not doing anything coding-wise that's important, in the sense of I cannot be responsible for any critical deliverables. I can't be responsible for any critical bugs. And so instead, what I'll do is a lot of times I'll experiment with something, and then I'll give my team like, hey, here's this code together, and they are welcome to use all of it. They're welcome to use none of it. But you know, right now we're working on a project where we have a bunch of data and logs, and we have a process called the ETL, an extract, transform, and load. Mm-hmm. So I wrote some initial code to how we could possibly do this, and then I gave it to the team and said, hey, here's an example of kind of what I was figuring out as I was trying to learn how we would do this. Use as much or as little as you want. But this is how I kind of figured out. Even I didn't know what we needed to do with it. Now I can at least describe, okay, we need to do this. Here was one way, but there was no unit test written for it. There's nothing. So you know, say, hey, go do a better job than I did.
I totally agree. I discovered a long time ago that 5 was the magic number. As soon as I had 5 direct reports, I was not writing code anymore on the critical path.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll pull off little fun things or things that, you know, seem mm-hmm. interesting, but nobody wants things like that, but can't code on the critical path. And quite honestly, after about 8 or 9, I don't even get to do that. It's all meetings at that point. Do you still have a hand in the architecture of what you're building, or have you given that off to a chief architect?
Yeah, so I have a passion around the architecture, and so I have to strike a careful balance, because I view my role as a question asker, and so they'll say, hey, we're thinking about doing this architecture, and I can probably identify a couple things that I'd have concerns about, and the initial reaction is I want to go dictate, no, make this change. And instead I have to walk myself back and say, okay, well, describe to me how would this work in this situation, and how would this work in this situation, and what if we lost this data center, or what if we lost this region, and that's kind of my role, is like chief assumption, you know, exposure and validator, saying, hey, I just want to make sure you're aware of the assumptions that you've made, and that we come to the best result.
Yeah.
Which can be hard, because sometimes I just want to dig in and just go to the whiteboard and like, just do all this cool stuff. but the problem that I found specifically is that as a boss, if I tell my team to build something a certain way, if I were building it and I encountered some problems, I could easily make the judgment call, like, oh, this isn't going to work, I'm going to switch gears. But because it was their boss who told them to do it this way, and surely he knows what he's talking about, they're much more hesitant, and they'll go way farther down the path until they're like, this isn't going to work at all. And I look at it like, oh my gosh, you guys just spent like the last 4 weeks on something that 3 days in, I would have been like, nope, let's pivot. And so I have to be really careful. And I over communicate, saying, you know, hey, this is an idea, but please, like, you can do as much or as little of this as possible, but you have ownership over it.
Now, are all of your developers, are they in the same location? Do you have any remotes?
Yeah, so currently all my developers are in the same location. A couple years ago, I used to have, actually like 2 years ago, I did have some teams that were had some co-located and some remote. Mm-hmm. And it was remote, not like close to us, it was remote in Ukraine.
Oh, okay.
So we had a time zone difference there, and that was a really unique challenge though, that presents.
Yep. I had a team member on one team that moved to China. So, while he was on the team, and, you know, the company's like, okay, but, and he, everything worked okay, but our daily standups were at 9 o'clock Eastern time, which was like midnight his time. So, you know, he'd try to make at least three of them a week, but you can't stay up till midnight every night of the week and still be functional. So, that was interesting. Very cool. Well, what is one tip that you'll give? Let's ask it this way. What is one thing you wish your developers knew that, you now know because you're in management?
Oh, that's a great question. It's like you have a podcast or something.
It's like I sit around and think these things up.
I know. What was one thing that I wish my engineers knew? The first one that comes to mind is the value of communication. It wasn't until I was in management that I realized just how easy it is to have people, even on the same team, sitting literally feet from each other, have different ideas about things and different understandings about things. And so going in and over communicating about different situations, and that, that is by far one of them. And then the second one would probably be around valuing your interpersonal relationships with your team members and your stakeholders and the people you work with. Mm-hmm. It's really easy for us to be like, look, we care about ones and zeros. We care about binaries. We care about, servers and all these different programming languages. But taking the time to invest in those interpersonal relationships is important. And you don't have to be good at it, in the sense of sometimes people think like, oh, I have to be sociable. I'm like, no. I had one engineer who, he is the quietest person I think I have ever worked with, maybe even met. But he has a good relationship with everyone on this team. And it might be as simple as he'll come in and you'll be talking about something with your group and he'll say, oh, well, how is this? And like, oh, my weekend was good. And I say, okay. And that's all we did. But like for him, that's like, like a 2-hour conversation. And so like, you don't have to be like a natural social butterfly to do this. It's just, finding a way to make a relationship with the people you work with and, value that and take care of it.
Yeah. And I totally agree. I mean, you don't have to be drinking buddies or anything, but you do have to have that relationship, and because otherwise, if you can't do the chit chat type communication, then you're not going to be able to do the deep technical discussions in any meaningful way. So, that is an excellent point. Hey, Justin, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today on Voices of the Elephant. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Audience, I want to thank you for being a part of Voices of the Elephant this week. And look, if you haven't done so already, do us a favor, go out to iTunes or whatever podcaster you listen to, subscribe to us, but go out to iTunes. And if you like what we're doing, please leave us a 5-star rating, leave us a comment, let us know what you like what we're doing, and let us know what we can do better. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Elephant, that's ELEPHPANT. And again, talk to us, let us know who you'd like to see on there. Let us know what we're doing right. If something's not right, let us know how we can serve you better. Thank you so much for being here, audience. We'll hope to see you next week right here on Voices of the Elephant. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.